said he saw him at the wheel in the middle of the wheel. John talked about him in the book of the seven seas. Some called him the road of Sharon, others called him the Prince of Peace. Children at seven seas. Some call him the Rose of Sharon. Others call him the Prince of Peace. Children that I call Jesus my rock. Oh, I call him Jesus my rock. Jesus my rock. Jesus my rock. Oh, sweet Jesus. I know that I call Jesus my rock. Oh, I call him Jesus my rock. I call him Jesus my rock. I call him Jesus my rock. Sweet Jesus my rock. Though he won't,
you know that I call Jesus my rock.
Oh,
call Jesus my rock. He's the one that woke me up this morning and started me on my way. So yes, I call Jesus my rock, my everything, my all in all, because he deserved the praise and he deserved the glory. Thank God for me being here today, to the shepherd of this house, Pastor Burnett. God bless you. Give you honor and glory for this day. To my husband, Sherwood Coley. Thank you for being the man that you are. Accepting me for who I am. And he calls me Gerald. Thank God for you. And my daughter. Happy birthday. I didn't think I would have this opportunity to say happy birthday. Happy birthday. 49 years old. Happy birthday. To her husband, Roger. Thank you for being by her side and her taking my husband and my place with taking care of our daughter. Thank you for being that man of God. Thank you. And you know, I learned I'm a new minister. I haven't been in the field very long, but I've learned that when you start calling names, you get in trouble. You get in a lot of trouble. So I try to be a little careful calling names. But if I miss someone's name, please forgive me. Charge it to my head and definitely not to my heart. My brother, I do want to acknowledge you, my brother Terry. Thank you for being here. My sister-in-laws, thank you for your support. Even Mother Coleman, sister-in-law. I appreciate you all. My sister Joyce. Thank you for your support. My cousin Ernestine. So you're getting a lot of trouble by calling names. I can't stop calling, though, until I call my sister, Shirley. Sister Shirley. And she told me she might do that. But you know what? I thank God for you. She just funeralized her sister just recently, this week. And she was here. Not on her own, but it was love that brought her here today for somebody else. And church, that's what we have to do. We got to stop thinking about ourselves. That's what's wrong with this world today. Don't let me start going into this world today. But it's love for somebody else other than yourself. And my Agassiz Church family. All of you. And you know what? They didn't have to come out here and support little old me. But they're here. Thank you. And I see you, Deacon, Mother Isler, Monica, Michelle. I thank you for being here. I'm scanning my brother-in-law, Ernest. You know, my brother Tick. Everybody. Thank you for being here today. If not for me, you're here for the Lord. Because you love him. And, you know, we're going to go through today. In order to love him, who you don't see. You don't see the Lord, do you? You got to love your fellow man. You got to love each other. So thank you for your support. Pulpit ministers. And I'm telling you, church, these ministers, they took care of me this morning. Dr. Monica, I mean, she was there. She was making sure that everything was in place. I mean, all of your ministers. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If I miss anyone, don't charge it to my heart again. Charge it to my head. And in the absence of my pastor, Reverend Tracy Lewis, you know, I'm representing the church, Atkinson Chapel, God, and my pastor. Wonderful man of God. And his beautiful wife. Today is Women's Day. And let me just say, I am a reader. So if I look down at my paper too much, you know, it's just charge it to the fact that I'm new. But let me just say, Mother Coleman and the entire planning committee, that so far you have done a wonderful job on this program today. Amen. Wonderful job. When Mother Coleman let me know that they had chose a book, the Book of Ruth, for the message today, and that's where we'll be coming from, I had to pray about it, and truly God came through. And I believe he gave me a word for you all today, and even myself. So, let us pray. Lord, it's me again. I pray that I will decrease and allow you to increase. Holy Spirit, please guide every word and touch every person that's here today. Lord, please give all of us what we need, men and women, so we can move forward in you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. The theme is for today, women on the move for God. Women on the move for God. And I've heard it said, women on the move for Christ. But however you say it, and however you hear it, we all know that God and Christ are three in one. So if you hear me say Christ and the program says God, we are still talking about the same God. And we will be coming from the Book of Ruth. Church, as you know, the Book of Ruth is not very long, but still, four chapters is too big for a 30-minute or so message. So I needed to narrow it down to a certain topic or focus. So Let's go to Ruth, first chapter, and we will be reading the 15th through the 18th verse. First chapter, 15 through 18. And it reads, "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her God. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. Again, the theme is women on the move, and I'll say Christ. Women on the move for Christ. And I name this message today, "This Little Light of Mine." I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Since this is a family church, family, this is a family who loves to sing. Throughout the message, you will hear me mention different songs. I won't ask you to help me sing every song, but I would like for you to help me sing the title of the message today. This Little Light of Mine. Help me sing it, church. Just a few lines. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Everywhere I go, everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Thank you. We're gonna let our little light shine everywhere we go. We're gonna let it shine. Now, let's talk about the book of Ruth, chapter 1. The Bible tells us that there was a darkness in the land of Israel. And a certain man named, and let me just tell you before I pronounce this man's name. All through the writing of this message, I had trouble with the pronunciation of this man's name. So if it sounds a little strange different times when I call his name, just know that I'm talking about that same man. And I'm going to call him Elimelech. It's a tough name. So his name was Elimelech. He was trying to get away from a famine. moved his family to Moab. It was on the other side of the Dead Sea, which was some 60 miles east of Bethlehem. Elimelech was the husband of Naomi. And Naomi was the mother-in-law of Ruth. Question. What were Jews doing in a foreign land? Did God send Elimelech to the land of Moab to live? Was he on the move for Christ, like your theme today? Or did he just do what he wanted to do, like other Israelites in the book of Judges? The book of Deuteronomy indicates that the covenant seemed to be completely foreign in and Israel had forgotten all about who they were worshiping. They began to worship idols. So was Elimelech right or wrong in moving his family away from the promised land? That's the question that many Bible scholars still debate about today. One would think that since the three men, Naomi's husband and their two sons, lost their lives, that maybe, just maybe, they were somewhere that they were not supposed to be. That was a question I had for Mother Coleman when she first told me the book that they wanted me to speak from. Right, Sister Coleman? I had a question. I said, and you all don't know me, and you don't know my personality. I said, women on the move for Christ? But Naomi wasn't even supposed to be in Moab. If you are on the move for Christ, shouldn't the family be moving in the right direction? So again, I asked the question whether Elimelech was right or wrong for going to Moab. I just want to leave it as whether he was right or wrong. After reading all four chapters of the book of Ruth, they let us know, if you go back and read, let us know that God gets the glory in the end. Better than that, if you turn to the last book of the Bible, which is Revelations, and read the last chapter, we will learn that God wins in the end. I can't help myself. Like I said, you don't know my personality. Sometimes I like to read the end before the beginning. And that's me. But if you read the end, you know we win. Amen. But let's go back to the book of Ruth, chapter 1. What are the three widows going to do without their protectors, providers, and redeemers? You know, if you know the story, they were all three that the men provided for them. Protectors, amen. Providers, amen.
Amen.
And redeemers, amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Does Naomi have a connection back to the promised land? Unlike the man that Ruth followed to the strange land, we desire men who are led by Christ. That's our men that I'm talking about. We want men that are led by Christ. As you know, in 1 Corinthians 11 and 1, the New Testament, Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Men, just like the women, you can't lead unless God directs your path. So whether Elimelech was right or wrong, the head of their family died. And after his death, Naomi's son married sons, because there were two of them, married foreign women. Eventually, Naomi's life goes from bad to worse. Bad to worse. Naomi's husband died, and her two sons died also. Sad and broken, Naomi, who is grieving bitterly, changes her name from Naomi to Mara. That is, you will find that in Ruth 1 and 20 through 21. She said that she called herself Mara because the Almighty God had made her life bitter. Amen? Amen. Naomi sums up her life by saying, I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. She has lost everything. Now, there are three widowed women, mother-in-law Naomi, and daughter-in-laws Ruth and Orpah, who are now left unprotected. There's no reason for Naomi, who said that she was once full, but now empty, to stay in a foreign land any longer. So she decides to go back home. Go back home. Thinking that she is on her own and with nothing to offer anyone, Naomi tries to convince her two widowed daughter-in-laws, who wanted to go back home with her, not to follow her. The one named Orpah went back to her gods and to her people. But the one named Ruth followed her heart. Ruth let Naomi know that she had a made-up mind. And church, you can't deal with a made-up mind. A made-up mind is a made-up man. She surrendered every aspect of her life into Naomi's hands. Naomi's hands. Sometimes we are the only God that others might see. Church, the beauty of this story is that both of these ladies died in chapter 1. Both of them died. Let me say, one died from depending on flesh and blood. That was Naomi. And the other, listen to this, the other lived from depending on flesh and blood. Can you see it, church? One died, Naomi. All the flesh and blood that she depended on died. One lived because the one that she depended on was flesh and blood, and that was Naomi. Yes, Ruth still died. Ruth died. I said lived, but yes, she did die. But she died from her old life of sin. Church, have you ever heard the song that says, all to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence daily live. Ruth chose the best by giving up everything to follow Naomi and her God. Naomi is totally dependent on the Lord, and Ruth is trusting Naomi, her mother-in-law. Yes, Ruth is clinging to Naomi, and she has put her life into Naomi's hands. You know, Cain in Genesis 4 and 9 asked God when he killed his brother. You all remember that? When Cain killed his brother? He asked God, he said, am I my brother's keeper? The answer is yes. Yes. In a Christian and Jewish interpretation of the Bible, you are your brother's keeper. This is a principle derived from God's response to Cain after he murdered his brother Abel. Although Cain asked this question in a sinful disregard for his brother, this story teaches us that we are responsible to look out for and to care for one another, especially within the Christian family. Have you died to yourself? If we have picked up our cross to follow Jesus, then we are women on the move, and men, women and men on the move for Christ. The only way that anyone can be on the move for Christ is to do like Naomi and Ruth did, and that is to die to self and the cares of this world. This world don't care for you. Don't care nothing about you. So, we need to die to the cares of this world. When God cleans us up, that makes me think of another song. Now, I'm just quoting the words. We're not singing again. And it goes like this. Won't he make you clean inside? Won't he make you clean inside when you die to this world? Yes, he will. What? Won't he make you clean inside? This, when he makes you clean, this little light of mine, because he's replaced it with that light, I'm going to let it shine. Am I going to make it shine? No, I'm not going to make it shine. I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine everywhere I go. I'm going to let it shine. Look at how God used Naomi. When she felt empty inside, God used a young, vibrant woman who was a foreigner to support Naomi's in her weakness. Naomi became weak. She told us she was broken. She let us know. She felt like she had nothing to offer. But look at this young, vibrant women, I don't want to go too far in my message, but women, we got to let our light shine. Men, we got to let our light shine, because you don't know who we are, who are looking at us, dependent on us. Now God has sent a young, vibrant woman to help Naomi. Did Naomi realize that her light was still shining in her worn, tired vessel? Did she realize it? That light is love, for God is love. God is love. Believers, show others the goodness of God, who calls us out of darkness into the marvelous light. Naomi let her little light shine, and it was contagious because her daughter-in-law attached herself, and she went, and she would go wherever Naomi go. You heard Ruth. She gave her entire life to Naomi to follow her. There was nothing left, church. She gave it all. Being on the move for Christ doesn't require a lot of physical movement. And that was demonstrated by Naomi's husband. When he went, look how he went, moved, went to a foreign country. He was on the move. Yeah. So some people think they got to be doing this, got to be doing that. Make sure you're moving in Christ. And I am not sure how Naomi could move because of her age. I'm not sure. I do know that it requires faith in Jesus and what he did on the cross. We know that God had a redemptive plan for Ruth. And Ruth was ready. She was ready, she was able, and this young girl was willing. It's the life that we live that speaks for us. It's like the song, "It's in Jesus we live. It's in Jesus we move. It's in Jesus we have our being." We might as well not move at all unless we move in him. It's amazing how I didn't have to finish those words myself, because you all, everybody knows it. Everybody knows it's in Jesus. Women on the move for Christ, trust that God will direct your path. John 14:6 says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Yes. Naomi telling Ruth to go back to where she came from, it was too late. It was too late. She knew too much about Naomi and her God. Yes, church, we all know that once we have a made up mind, again, we are dead to the world. We won't turn around, and nobody can make us. Remember Esther in the Bible when she said, "If I perish, I perish." She was going to see the king. Who could turn Esther around? Nobody could turn her around. She had a made up man. Church, one day, huh? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. One day, about 40 years ago, and I told you all that I'm a new minister, but about 40 years ago, I got a made up mind. It's no accident. I heard you say that earlier. It's no accident. And Mother Coleman, it's no accident. Amen. When she asked me, would I be the Women's Day speaker? I didn't hold you no headache, did I? It's no accident that I'm here today. That's right. My call to ministry started here. Amen. Amen, Mother Mary, Deacon Isler. Amen. Not at Atkinson. My ministry started here at Central Heights.
That's right.
It started here. I was standing right in this choir station back here when I was singing with the Revelations. And Dr. Lewis, you was there for my, he was there for my, and Dr. Monica were there for my initial sermon. They heard the message. And it was, nobody can tell me nothing. You can't tell me nothing. I'm sold out. And you know, I was standing right back there in that choir stand. Amen. And I thought I was minding my own business. Reverend Norbert Simmons, he was bringing the message. I thought I was minding my own business. I thought. Amen. And all of a sudden, I had an out-of-body experience. Right back there. Right back there. My body was on the floor. My whole being was flying in the air like a bird, I say. And this is the truth. This is true because I've been telling it over 40 years. I've been telling the story, you know. When I finally came back to again, I heard Reverend Aaron Jarman. He is saying, go with it, go with it. You know, and I could hear, but I'm gone. He don't know what's going on, you know, there, you know. But when I finally came back together to myself, I heard the words in this ear right here. He said, read and learn of me. Read and learn of me. So it's no accident. It's no accident that I'm here today. And I want to give back to you all the church that was given to me. God was preparing me. That's what I was telling these ladies. Yes, it took him over 40 years. But you know what? I remember that it took God for 40 years for Moses, to prepare Moses, you know? So whatever God is doing, it might not happen overnight. It might take a little while, but trust in God. Trust in God, because he cares for us. And I don't know why he's bringing me out now, but he might be bringing me out for such a time as this. I don't know. I don't know. You know, everybody's got, you know, God's got his hands on all of us. Not just me. It had been, this has been my testimony for Takesha a long time, right? Many years. I've been telling it. I've been telling it. But it has been my testimony for many years. And one day, God made my testimony and experience clear. To make a long story short, I was called into the ministry in 2023. As an evangelist. Now, all evangelist does is tell their story. Tell their story. But why would you believe my story? There's nobody hardly know me personally. And you might say, oh, I don't believe what that girl's saying. But you know what? You can't tell me that I don't know what I'm saying. You can't tell me that. Because I know what I'm saying. And I know God is real. I know God is real. Now, one thing I do know is like Ruth, Esther, like you and you and you, whoever, I do know, and you know, that nobody here can tell you nothing, because you also have a made up mind. Jesus died to rescue believers from the kingdom of darkness and transfer them into the kingdom of light. Believers show others the goodness of God, who calls us out of darkness and into the wonderful light. Before salvation, we had no identity as a people, but now we are God's chosen people. With Ruth's words, becoming a follower of God, we have become a follower of God. The young widow's life will never be the same. Ruth made a definite separation from her past way of life to a new life. Similarly, that's what happens with us when we choose to follow Jesus. He is the same in the Old Testament as well as the New. He is the God. He is God the Father, like I said earlier, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. As a new creature in Christ, we are separated from the power of sin through the death of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. We've become a totally new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. We are women on the move for Christ. Let's let our little light shine. Or let me say, let's let our bright light shine. Little light or bright light. Let it shine. Wherever your light is, as long as it is in Jesus, let it shine. I promise you that our light will get brighter if we let it shine everywhere we go. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. And this is the message. Amen. 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 Amen.
Amen. Women on the move for Christ, let our little light shine. Hallelujah. I'm standing to extend a gospel invitation. The door to faith is open. If you want to accept Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, if you have heard the message that was preached to us today, come to the altar. The choir will give us a selection. If you need prayer for anything, the altar is open for you.
Sometimes I fall to my knees and pray. Come, Jesus, come. Let today be the day. Sometimes I feel like I'm gonna break, but I'm holding on to a hope that won't fade. Come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long.
He's waiting for you. Come.
For the day you return,
yes,
to heal every hurt and right every wrong. We need you right now. Come and turn this around.
Yes.
'Cause deep down I know this world is sent home. Come, Jesus, come. There'll be no wars, and there'll be no chains. when Jesus comes. Let the day be the day.
Jesus.
You come for the weak and the strong just the same. And all who believe in the power of his name.
Jesus.
Come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day you return to heal every hurt and right every wrong. We need you right now. Come and turn this around. 'Cause deep down I know this world isn't home. Come, Jesus, come. Come, Jesus, come. One day he'll come, and we stand face to face.
Yes, yes.
Come and lay it all down, 'cause it might be today. The time is right now. There's no need to wait. Our past have been washed by rivers of grace. Come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day you return to heal every hurt and right every wrong. We need you right now. Come and turn this around. 'Cause deep down I know this world isn't home. Come, Jesus, come. Come, Jesus, come. Come,
yes, yes.
Come, Jesus, come. Come, Jesus, come.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. No one came to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But it's not too late to accept him as your Savior. God is good. Minister Coley would not lose her reward because she stood stand-footed and preached the word of God.
Amen.
That God has given her.
Amen.
For us, God. And we just thank you for that word.
And Central Heights women, thank you again for inviting me here today to be your Women's Day speaker. And I invite you, if you have not read the entire book of Ruth, hopefully I have inspired you by saying something about this book that make you want to go back and read it for yourself. You see, Naomi and Ruth still needed a male kinsman to redeem them back into the relationship once they returned home. But God, he had a bigger plan in mind. By Jesus redeeming the whole world to himself. And that's what he did. He redeemed us all to himself. If you've been a redeemer and bought with a price, I say, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for accepting the call And there's no better place that you can be than in Christ. Because Jesus, all that believe, we know that he's coming back. He's coming back sooner than we think. So make sure that you're, if you're not in that ark of safety, now is the time. Don't wait. Don't wait. So I have been assigned to dismiss the church. So I'm going to dismiss the church. Everybody, please stand. And I thank God for being here. And we're going to dismiss by saying amen.
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 And amen.
Amen.
Thank you.